this very important piece of paper is a nominating committee member. I'm not planning to take the time in this call today to go through and do introductions because we have a very short amount of time for our meeting and we'd like to get a point where perhaps we're also interactive today. But everybody who does speak, and I do hope you all will, whether or not you've got a little card in front of you or whether you're here to find out a little bit more about what we do, whenever you speak, if you please identify yourself. So one of the most common things you'll hear me say is, my name is Cheryl Langdonorf for the record, or I'm Cheryl for the record. And if you're a nominating committee member, the first time you speak, I think it would be a good idea to say, unless, of course, mine currently says chair, but if it said I was from North American region of ALAC, just identify what you are, where you've come from, not a spiel, but just to give people the flavour of the diversity of what a nominating committee is all about. So with that little bit of a preamble done, we do have a tradition and an expectation of member attendance. So one of the things we always start our meetings, and we are doing a normal meeting with some slight modifications to make sure we're updating any visitors that are in the room. So this is just the same as a normal business meeting, excepting we would want to interact with you as well, because this is a rare opportunity for us all. The first thing we always do is a roll call, and at that point I'm going to hand over to Joette.
This is Joette Johanna for the record. Sarah.
Present.
Vanda.
Present.
Ron.
Present.
John.
Here.
Satish.
Present.
Right here.
Hans.
I'm here.
Brendan.
Here.
Louis.
Bonjour again.
Robert.
Present.
Yurio.
Yes.
Cheryl.
Present.
Gia.
Present.
John.
Present.
Don.
Here.
Huhani.
I'm here.
Alan.
Bonjour.
Stefan.
I've just arrived.
What?
I'm here.
Is there anyone who hasn't roll called off? Fantastic. Thank you very much. Is there anybody who at this stage wants to add anything, any member of the committee who wants to add anything to our relatively lean, but we only have a short meeting agenda today, which is discussing our new look and feel, the way that we are now more transparent, having a quick look at the website and those sorts of features, talking a little bit about the new SOI form. We'll also go over our activities here at ICANN 49. We all want to spend a bit of time on the update on proposed bylaw changes, and we're also going to be looking at our timeline. So that's the agenda that we'd like to run today. But is there anybody who wants to put any other business or reorder any of those points? Not seeing anybody, and nobody's waving at me in the room. I want to take the time to recognise Hans for this particular meeting because I have missed him on a number of meetings to date. Not that he hasn't been there, I just keep forgetting to look and see him at the back of the room. So yesterday I kept introducing people. It was not deliberate to miss you, I can assure you. So now you've been extra noticed here today. And today you're not here. Well, there you go. It must be me. Let's get straight into it now. And I believe we should have a next slide, or are we just going to project the website? Which is it going to be? So if we pull up the website. We like to think that we've been responsive to what the community has said to us. While the technology catches up with the topic, we've since last year and to some extent the beginning of this happened in the year before, but particularly while Yurio was chair, We've tried to bring the nominating committee out from behind closed doors, and this meeting is an example of that. At every ICANN meeting since we've made this decision in Toronto, we have had a public meeting. Now, it's not a meeting to talk at you and promote what we're doing. We do that on Tuesday with all the component parts of ICANN. This is a normal business meeting, so there's no mystery about what happens and what goes on. We have got a rule, however, and that is that personal information and candidate information is sacrosanct and must be treated with the utmost confidentiality. So anytime that there is something that may go on which may reflect or may use as example identifiable or candidate-like information, we will go behind closed doors. And we have had a couple of meetings here at ICANN 49 where we have had closed doors, but one of the things we're going to do to you is report to you what we've been doing in those meetings and what we will be doing in those meetings. So, again, there is even no mystery to what goes on. The processes are to be public. If you have a question about the process, if you're not sure about a process, if you have a suggestion about a process, this is an interactive, listening NomCom which wants to continue to improve. And as chair-elect, Stefan will definitely want to take as many good ideas into his year of running a nominating committee. So we'd like to think that in maybe 2 years' time, people will be so bored with hearing about the nominating committee and what we do that it will no way be thought of as a black box or a mystery, with the exception of what we do with candidate evaluation and actual identifiable information. So that's our ground rules from now. To that end, if we have a look, we've done a whole website about Stefan, as you can see. And we've just lost the feed. I don't know why YouTube decided between Yurio and myself and Stefan that Stefan was the face, but Stefan is the face. The face of the future, that might very well be it. But we've in line with a corporate look for microsites in ICANN, we've redone our website. We have taken advantage of doing a video where what we think is if someone is asking you what is this NomCom and what is it all about, you are safe to just suggest they go and visit the site and that they will in fact get some information that is meaningful and not confusing. On this same web page, there are simple links to follow where an aspiring applicant can push an apply now button and it takes them to the brand new web form. Now, the web form we're very proud of, and I want to recognise the work that's been done, thank you very much, the work that's been done so far by the nominating committee as they've worked in sub-teams, and the sub-teams, a group of people started off first of all in a bit of an administrivia exercise whereby our own operational and procedural manual was overhauled and reviewed, and we've got that where we think it's a valuable document and we've published it, which is absolutely essential. And I hear myself in echo, so someone has their speakers on. So with that, and that in itself is pretty special. And I'm in triplicate now. Thank you. I can hear as much of me as possible. Thank you. I love it. Give me more. Give me more. Give me a stage. I prefer that. But it is important landmark, I think, to note that even our processes and procedures and the NDA type documents and behavioural norms we follow are public because they're part of the process. But that's one sub-team. Another sub-team you'll hear about later, which is a bylaw review. The sub-team that has come up with the new web form has done a huge amount of work and has, I think, and I believe the rest of the committee agrees with me here. They may not agree with me on anything else, of course, but I think they agree with me here. We've had such an improvement on what was, in some cases, the first experience a potential board member or leader would get of ICANN. The previous form, if you've never had the delight of having applied, couldn't even be saved. It was a web form that did not even allow a save. So there was no choice but for the candidate to do it, go to woe in one sitting. It was a very, it was not a very attractive way forward. So it's been completely overhauled and reviewed. You're looking at the very beginning of the page system here, where the identifiables of the potential candidate are captured. They fill out a group of basic questions, including whether or not they are planning to go for the board position, and we have two seats for board to consider at the moment, whether they're going for a GNSO position, and that's one seat on the GNSO council, whether they're planning on looking at CCNSO, again, one seat, or if they're looking at the ALAC, which is two seats, but it is geographically limited. And I just wanted to note with extreme pleasure that we have a couple of the people we appointed under the geographic limitations last year. So I have Rafid and... Hello. Okay, thank you. You're here, so I'm just introducing you. You're both been appointed to the nominating to. Have I got a third? Oh, sorry, I do apologize. Three for three. My heavens, we've done brilliantly well. I should have had you clustered together. But we are now appointing for North America and Europe in this coming year. Once this one pager of identifiables is filled out, staff then prepare a personalised profile page where the aspirant is sent the link to that, where they then fill out, and they have as much time as they need up until the close of the day UTC 1st of April, as much time as they need to fill out the forms and answer the questions, five or six on each of the positions, and it can be saved. And until they sign off on it, it's not considered completed. So a very different experience to what you three had. And I would actually like at one point, if any of you have the spare time, if you would go through perhaps as a test and just give us some feedback on how much better this system is. I think we could find that valuable. So enough of that. It's new, it's shiny, we think it works. Let's move on. Is there any questions about why we've done these things at all? No? Yes? Go ahead, Ron.
Thank you, Chair. I'm glad that you noted that there are non-com appointees in the room, because we work just looking at documentation. And in the past, we didn't even have a photograph of you. That's one of the improvements that we have. So at least we now know who is it. But it's a really it's exciting to see you in the room, because again, we work in a vacuum, and we name people, and we all say, okay, our work is done, and we leave the room. But when we physically see you sitting here, and we know that this is the result of the labor, it's really a pleasure. So thank you for taking the time to come and sit in today. And I too would echo what the chair has asked. If you would like to fill out the form, if you could see Joette, because obviously you're not you may want to reapply, but the fact is, whether you are or are not, if you wanted just to test it, it would be good for us, because we have the part one is the profile, part two is the data, and then part three is a feedback form, and it's about a half a dozen questions. But we would really value that input from the three of you. So I just wanted to echo the chair's invitation for that. And the reason I'm asking you to see Joette is to make sure you get a number that we're assigning for testing, so that we're not confused. Thank you.
Faith, go ahead.
Raf Atani for the transcript record. Well, I saw me and my colleagues nodded our heads, so I think we'll take you up for that. But we'd also like to thank the unforeseen faces that nominated us in here. So take that opportunity to say thank you.
Thank you. Of course, many of the faces were different last year, so we'll pass on that indeed. And I forgot to say it was Cheryl Langdon-Orr for the record. I assume everyone's happy that we have a new look. We're happy that we have a new look and feel. And if you don't mind, we'll move on to our next agenda item. Our activities here at ICANN 49. I'm going to ask Yurio to give us a little introduction on the meetings that we do on Tuesday, on Constituency Day, on what we've done. I'm going to ask Stefan to give us a little bit of a general briefing on the closed meeting and the nature of what we were doing when we had the closed meeting, not the details, on Monday when we were talking to consultants. And I'm going to give you a little bit of an insight with Joette's help of what we will be doing tomorrow in our other closed meeting. So over to you, Yura.
Thank you, Cheryl. Yurio Länsipuro for the transcript record. On Tuesday, on the Constituency Day, we try to go to as many constituency meetings as possible. All who want to see us, we go there for 15 minutes and basically explain, introduce ourselves, that is to say, leadership team and those committee members who want to come with us and who have time. And tell them about the process, tell them about the timeline, and about the process. You know, there is still time to apply. So this is part of our outreach recruitment efforts also. We've been telling everybody to think whether he or she or their friends could fit any of these positions, and we have been emphasizing that the 1st of April is the deadline, and even though the 1st of April is the April Fool's Day, this is actually a fact. That is to say, our chair has promised that this NOMCOM will go into history being probably the first NOMCOM that has not extended the deadline. So you have to take the 1st of April seriously. Thank you.
Very seriously indeed. And Yuri is going to take us through the timeline again later. Okay, Stefan, over to you.
Thanks, Cheryl. Stefan van Gelder, NOMCOM Chair-elect for 2014. Welcome, everybody. It's great to see so many people here for the open meeting, which, as Cheryl said, is part of our intensive effort to make the process of the nominating committee more transparent and more open. So thank you for being here. In that regard, let me just explain to you what we've done during the closed meetings that we had this week and give you a general overview of what was done. On Monday, we spent some time with the recruitment firm that we are using for this year's, for this NOMCOM cycle, OB, and we worked with them to gain a better mutual understanding of the work to be done. I'm not going to be too precise on exactly what was done because, as said, we value the secrecy of the data and the candidate information that we use. So I hope you'll allow me to gloss over that and just let you know what happened. This morning, the NOMCOM has also met to continue reviewing its processes. Yesterday, as was mentioned, we met with all the groups, the constituencies within ICANN to spread the message and explain what we were doing and foster more applications. And this morning, we went over the SOI and computer or system changes that have been introduced this year. So what we've done is basically trained ourselves to use the systems that we're asking applicants to use. So we are extremely careful to ensure that those systems do conform to our desire to make the process of applying easier, more user-friendly and more efficient for you as applicants, if there are applicants here. We understand that everybody's time is precious, and so is the NomCom's, and this also helps the NomCom process itself gain in efficiency, because when it comes time to select, the work that's been done will make, we hope, will make that easier. So we've done that, and tomorrow, if I can give you a heads up on that, we are looking to continue our training work, and we will focus more on training ourselves to interview people. Because that's also part of our work, and we are not all experts in that field. All these efforts are new. They are part of the NomCom's ongoing drive towards improving itself. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan. Cheryl Langdonor for the record again. I'd like to pause now and see if there are any comments, questions from the audience, or indeed from any of the NomCom members at this point in time. Told you we were boring. Okay. Well, perhaps that is, yes. Cheryl's still continuing. Let me assure you that the ordinary business meeting agenda, thanks, Leon, I'll get to you in a moment, the ordinary business meeting agenda to date has had things like report from each of the sub-teams, we discuss what they've done, pretty normal business stuff, and then we may have also shared what outreach activities we have done and shared any outreach opportunities we might know about. So beyond that, and of course the outreach now, we've described what we did on Tuesday, but we're coming towards the end of that process. Beyond that, there is nothing new. Nothing's been in another agenda that isn't really in this one. Leon, please.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is Leon Sanchez for the record. Well, first of all, thank you for nominating us, just as Rafit said. And we are glad to help you. At least I will be testing the new application. And I was wondering if there is some kind of guide for filling in the application, like maybe a very simple PDF in which you could tell applicants how to fill in the different spaces in the new form. I mean, surely if it's more user friendly this time, I think it'll be pretty easy for us to fill in the blanks. But then again, maybe some criteria or recommendations for the new applicants, so they won't be like terrified in front of the computer when filling in the application, might be helpful.
Leon, I hope we're not making a terrifying model, believe me. Ron, you headed up this sub-team, please.
Ron Andrew, for the record. Thank you very much, Leon. You'll be very pleased to know that we've tried to make this not only friendly but professional. So when you start the application, you don't go to the form right away. You send a message to us that you'd like to. We invite you with an email coming from our secretariat. And in there, all of the explanation is in that email about everything that needs to be done. Then when you'll be given a number, and with that number you have an access. And then when you have access, all the information, again, is laid out very simply and very clearly. So it's literally all you need, and even things that you should not do, vis-a-vis, don't take out the number and put your name in, because we're trying to keep these things in a confidential way. So it's really well-defined. We think it's well-defined, but that's why we'd like to have real users tell us if, in fact, it is. And again, it's the first time. This is the 1.0. We expect that there'll be corrections and things that will improve. So that's why we have a feedback section as important as the profile and the other elements, so that over the years this becomes such a refined and well-oiled tool that it's very, very simple for applicants. It's also a tool for us that serves the work of the NomCom, which has never been there before. And moreover, the third element is it's a tool that serves staff. Because with hundreds of applications coming in and staff having to deal with all of that, it serves them. So we think it covers all the bases, but again, it's 1.0, so I just want to put that caveat out there. Thank you for that question.
Thank you.
Cheryl Langdonor for the record again, and I'm just looking around. I'm not seeing anybody doing the famous signal of that. Ah, now, I do apologise. I do not know your name. Please identify yourself.
Hello, my name is Nenad Orlić. I'm from Serbia. I wanted to save the questions for later, but it's related to the subject currently on the table. So from what you have said, the form shown isn't exactly the form, application form, because it's publicly available and anybody can enter without any invitation. In fact, it's a form to get an invitation.
That's correct. So you've put in information that then shows up at our secretariat. Our secretariat then comes back to you and gives you the keys to the castle.
Okay. And there is one suggestion that I try to find any other information regarding the application, which is something that he said. But for this first stage, maybe it would be a good idea to put the number of open places at the form where you need to check 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, I think it's on the, in terms of what we are looking for as a nominating committee, two board seats, GNSO council and so forth. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes, exactly.
So I'm not sure how that looks, but I'm happy to defer to our secretary to make sure that's there. Thank you. All information.
This is the look of somebody who wasn't involved in the process in any way, just came here, listening, seeing,
Excellent.
Not clear to me.
Excellent. Very good. Thank you for that.
That Cheryl, for the record, that's really valuable feedback, because we spend so much time saying what those positions are, it's ingrained. So this is one of those not seeing the forest for the trees situations. It's while you say that, we go, of course. So we will put those nomenclatures of how many is in each of those categories. Back to you, please.
That's if that's the only thing as a in this form, that's the only thing that's problematic. I would have more comment without that explanation that it's in fact introductory form that will get you to the keys of the kingdom.
And they're even secret keys to the kingdom. Thank you. Well, I am allowed to say that because it's very private keys. Okay, let's now move on. And Stefan, you have a sip of water while you get ready. We have another sub-team which has been reporting to us at regular intervals and is now at a pretty important part of its work. And I'm going to hand to Stefan now. And in this matter in particular, if you have opinion or comment, we really would value it. Over to you, Stefan.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. And perhaps to highlight that we're now getting back into the standard agenda. So what you're now seeing, for those of you who aren't on the nominating committee, is the nominating committee at work rather than updates to the community. And the agenda item that we're dealing with now is pertains to a desire of this year's committee under Cheryl's leadership to review or look at the bylaws that govern the nominating committee, and more specifically in two areas, one of which is the composition of the committee, and the other is the term length of membership for the voting members. There are two types of members, as you well know, and we are talking about the voting members only. So I want to recognize the members of the subcommittee on bylaw revisions that have worked with me on this: John Berryhill over here, John McCain over there, and Bill Manning.
John McKelwin.
What did I say?
McCain.
Oh. Sorry, John, I was thinking of French fries. The four of us have been working on a document that was sent to the full committee via its chair, Cheryl, a few weeks ago, I forget when, and which has a proposal to do the following. The first proposal is to add on the composition of the committee one delegate from the not-for-profit operational concerns, which is a constituency that was recently added to this, the NCPH, the non-contracted parties house of the GNSO, the generic name supporting organization. I do love acronyms. And that house, constituency does not have representation on the nominating committee at the moment. There is a GNSO review that's due, so the subcommittee went back and forth on this, questioning whether a deeper revision of the composition was necessary, and we actually took the easy way out and just suggest to the full committee that for now we just add a seat for the NPOC. The second revision is slightly more complicated in terms of what we're suggesting, and if I can turn to John Mack. That's a better way of saying it, without any advance warning. But if you worked a lot on this, so if you're able to give the committee a bit of a briefing, that would be great.
Sure. So, John McElwain, for the record, the revision to the bylaws dealing with term limits was currently the bylaws are structured so that there was it's a 1 year term on the nominating committee, and you could roll over for one additional year, and then you were term limited out. You had to be off for at least a year. One of the thoughts was that that left a knowledge gap, particularly when you had everybody. There was no staggering of those terms, so that theoretically you could have a new nominating committee every 1 or 2 years. And that gets to a point where you're losing a lot of that institutional knowledge. So one of the ideas was to stagger the terms and to extend those terms to 2 years. It's a little bit complex when you read it because we're having to start that anew. But once it gets going, it's a fairly simple procedure of having a 2 year term with maximum of two-year terms. And having 50% of those seats staggered. So at one time, you would have at least 50% of the people with some experience. So that's essentially the bylaw revision proposed.
John, thanks very much. Cheryl, I'll hand it back to you for discussion.
Thank you, Stefan. Cheryl Langdonor for the record. And while I'm opening the floor, I see Ron. And I don't see anybody else. Yes, I see Hans, I see Brendan, I see Robert. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I know that we're now doing our, within the business constituency, we're revising our charter. And I know that the charter that we come up with or that we revise and refine within the BC will then go out to public comment for the broader community's review and confirmation before it's adopted. How does that work within the non-com? I'm just wondering, is it the same thing, or is that go back to the BCG? Or how, I'm just like to know how that might play out. Thank you.
If Cheryl, for the record, and if I may take that, and then I'll if do you want to take it, or are you happy for me to take it? Okay. Any bylaw change, first of all, we do run it through ICANN Legal. And any adjustment that may need to be made in case there are unforeseen consequences to other bylaws are checked for, and then it does go through a public comment. So bylaw changes do go through a process of public comment. Whether or not that will be what happens this time will be part two. So it is coming back to you, part two of our situation, because it's not as simple as we thought it was this time round, which is with us putting forward these bylaw change proposals and it happening very much as if any constituency or component part of ICANN was doing the same thing. But I see you, John. Please go ahead.
But maybe what Stefan was going to say, but my understanding is that it would only be a recommendation to the board, and so they could change it, revise it, throw it out, not do it at all. So then if they decide to do something, that's what will be put out for comment.
In fact, we won't be putting out anything for comment, but look of it. Back to you, Stefan.
Thanks, Cheryl. Yeah, we are not putting anything out for comment. What John said is exactly right. It's a recommendation. This ties into another process, though, which is one that we've described this week, which is the board working group on the nominating committee. So if the NOMCOM as a committee approves these changes, what it is approving is it's giving the chair the leeway to present these changes to the board committee on NOMCOM, and that's it. It's up to the board then to do with it what it will. These are us being proactive in suggesting possible changes and explaining why we think they're a good idea. But beyond that, you know, the board may not elect to put this out for public comment. It's their decision.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't believe bylaws can be changed without public comment, but we can have that conversation some other time. Hans.
Yes, thank you. This is Hans. I have a couple of comments to the proposal. I mean, first, I fully understand the constituency without a voice, so I support them per se. But the solution to extend the council whenever we add a constituency, I find problematic in several ways. We then increase, if I am able to count correctly, the number of voting members from 15 to 16. So we need some procedure to figure out what if we have a voting tie, how will we resolve that? The other thing is that this also means that the GNSO is very close to getting a majority in the NOMCOM. And then if then somebody wants to be creative here, the CCNSO could then easily organize itself in five constituencies, one for each region, and ask for four more places, and then NOMCOM would be really huge. And I'm not going to suggest that the ASO would do that as well, but yeah. Thank you.
Sheriff, for the record, your point is well taken, and you've got five regions too. And I think what you've hit on there is exactly why the work of the board review on all of this is focusing on how a NOMCOM needs to be structured. Because there is a real potential for a huge snowball. And whilst it might be very nice to have plenty of willing workers at times, like doing the deep dive, etc., that we do in our process and that Uriel will discuss shortly with our timeline review, managing a board of a group of even this size, it can get a little unwieldy. So if we were to raise it by one third, it gets me very scared indeed. But that's not the point. It needs to be discussed. And might I say, your points would undoubtedly come out during a public comment phase. But we were also responding to a specific need, and a result of that analysis brought this forward. Back to you, Stefan.
Thank you. 2 points. Hans, this is exactly the discussion that we now need to have at nominating committee level. So that's perfect. You know, before we as a committee say to Cheryl, OK, send this to the working group. Just to clarify the earlier point, I was referring to the working group, the board working group, putting out something for public comment. Cheryl is absolutely right that my understanding as well is that if there's any bylaw change, I can bylaw change, that has to go run, just that has to go to public comment.
Thank you, Cheryl, again. Brendan.
Thank you, Cheryl. And this is Brendan, for the record. And thanks to the subcommittee for the work on this. I know having done charters for the non-commercial stakeholder group, it's a difficult task. So I'm glad to hear that any proposed changes will go up for comment. Risk that was identified in our February report that came from council actually was that some NOMCOM members could achieve a tenure of four consecutive years and therefore potentially achieve kind of undue influence on the nominating committee's selections. And I'm curious if there was anything in your debate or the proposed language that kind of addresses that concern. And then that's the question. And then more generally, I'm wondering if we may be using the wrong tool, that is term extensions, to accomplish the goal, which is to kind of create an efficient and effective nominating committee. I think that there are a lot of potential other means that we could use, the improved data collection efforts that have gone on now with the wiki. I think there are other areas we can improve there. documenting operational processes and to make it really dry and boring as to what nominating committee voting members actually do. Mm-hmm. And then better internal reporting, so we have a much better idea of where there may be gaps in the applicants, so we can address those things. So I'll leave it there.
Thanks, Rick. Over to you.
Thank you, Stefan. Again, taking those questions in order, yes, there was discussion on the possibility of capture, which I guess is what you're talking about. And we felt that there are other mechanisms in place, including the balance between voting and AC representatives, the balance between SO representatives, which would allow the NomCom to gain the benefit of experience retention whilst lowering the risk of capture. That is a risk, though, and we do recognize that this is a change which might allow NomCom members to voting NomCom members to stay on longer. We also feel that there, as the NomCom builds up its transparency, therefore its accountability to the community, that community, which is, let's not forget, the body that elects those people to the NomCom in the first place, would be able to track their behavior on the committee. That ties into two other points. And the second part of your question, one point is review of the performance of the committee itself, which is a whole different ball game, but I'll just put that out there as a placeholder, which would be a way for the community to gauge the performance of the people it elects to this committee. The second point, your second question, and the second point there, we are making suggestions only, but we don't really see right now any other way, and this ties into what Hans was saying, any other simple, quick fix, short-term, thank you, solution to the problem that we have of trying to be as inclusive of the GNSO communities as we can whilst maintaining the balance. So perhaps there are suggestions. I don't know if members here have some, but we did struggle with this, to put it simply.
I have Rob, and then I have Sarah.
Robert Guerra, for the record. I want to maybe say that some of the points that I was going to mention have been mentioned both by Hans and Brendan. I think what's important for this committee, but particularly in terms of how it's seen as a key structure inside ICANN, is really to try, it's not only what it tries to do, but also the perception for capture and other things as well, too. So I think that in as much as that we can present a variety of different options, and as long as it's important that we can identify the pluses and minuses of the different options we're presenting, we don't necessarily have to wait for the community to do that. So I think we should be robust in that description, because that shows that we're sophisticated enough to do that. One, in regards to the size, so adding one is fine, but we can say if this gets scales, then that will present a problem that would require a larger community input to try to solve. I think another issue that I don't think has been part of this conversation, but would be part of a conversation in regards to restructure or something like that, is what is the maximum size that we wish the NomCom to be, and maybe what is the minimum? And this is a conversation, for example, at the ESSEC, which has a different process for nominating and selecting members. We've reached a point that we've started to have conversations is that there may be a size that is too big, and so that may be something. Something else that maybe two things is, while we're talking about extension of the member's term, another possibility might be the extension of the terms of the leadership, that could be the chair and others, because they would be the institutional history. And then something else that we talked about in Buenos Aires but is related to the topic of going from one term to the other is how do we Right now, there's a clean slate every year. And there may be, it's not necessarily part of the bylaws, but more of the processes of the NOMCOM, is if data can be disaggregated from personal identifiable information, then there are trends and information that may be useful from one NOMCOM to another that could be helpful. And so that's something that we discussed a little bit in Buenos Aires, but that may be part of the conversation going forward, is that at least there can be some knowledge passed from one to the other that removes the PIA.
Thank you very much. I was going to go back to you and then Sarah, but I also want to say we only have about 3 more minutes on this topic.
Thanks. I'll try and be very quick, Stefan, again. Robert, that's thanks for bringing that up. I was going to go to that point also to answer your question. One of the things that I'm looking to do for next year and that I'm hoping that we can work on, and I think we're starting to work on this year, is, passing on the history. And the NOMCOM isn't designed to do that right now. The simple summary of that is that it's not built into the way we work right now. I think we can change that, and I think we should change that. And the only body that's designed to do that right now within the NOMCOM is a leadership team, because there is this rotation here. The rest depends on the community to re-elect the same people. And that, frankly, I find is a major flaw in the system right now. I know Cheryl and Euro agree with me. And I think part of this work is also connected to the work that we need to do ongoing into making sure that, for example, what we've done with recruitment, the solutions that we've found, why wouldn't the next year's committee benefit from that?
Sarah
Deutsch, for the record. If you could explain again how the staggered terms are determined, and when do those start? Do they start right away? Do they start after the first extension? And then also, was there any consideration that the balance between extended knowledge and term limits is a good one, but was there discussion of term limits for everyone on the NOMCOM? Because, the voting members have some influence, but even non-voting members have influence, since there's a lot of advocacy and opinions that get expressed, et cetera.
Thank you, Stefan, again. Thanks, Sarah. I'll answer the second question first and pass it on to John for the first. We took a deliberate determination only to look at the voting membership. So we did not attack the non-voting membership, and that was for efficiency's sake as much as anything else. That discussion is open up to the nominating committee to take it up, and I'll pass it over to John for the first point.
These are all great points. I wish we had had a little bit more of this discussion when we were working on this in the past. But the way you typically would do this in any type of corporation when you're trying to stagger a board that wasn't staggered is you actually have the current board select 50% of the people to stay on for a shorter term. So, for instance, now this would not apply to anybody here, because by the time it got enacted, it would be everybody would have rotated off. So you'd end up having 50% of the people selected for like a 1-year term and 50% selected for a 2-year term to start off the very first class of staggered terms.
Ron?
I certainly agree with Ron, for the record. I think the staggering of the terms is really very good and very helpful, because we do need to maintain some institutional memory. I think for myself, when I came onto the NOMCOM last year, I was completely ignorant of the practices and all the various things that happened with regard to deep dives and other things. Now, having had the experience, I find myself telling the new members this year, as we did this morning, we talked about how these elements work. So continue to maintain that kind of a style, process is a very good one. Where I am uncomfortable, as many of us know, there are at least one member I'm aware of who's been around for about 9 years or so, and I think it's non-voting, and I think that cannot continue. That really has to come to an end. We need to make sure that we get ourselves where everyone rotates in and out, because that's where it becomes problematic. There should be no squatters, if I can use that term, but not, I don't mean to use it in the wrong way, but there should be no one sitting on here longer than anyone else. A couple of years is a very good service, and after that, they should move on. So I really think that that might be something we would like the committee to go back and look at again. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Is there any other questions? Yes, please, Russ, go ahead.
Russ, for the record, one of the questions that I had, I thought that a number of the layout of how the rotation was put in place was done under the assumption that there were multiple representatives from the respective organizations. Well, some of the organizations, mine being one, only have a single representative, and I think that needs to be thought about. One of the other comments I'd like to make is that we're in some of the organizations, it's a challenge to get people to agree to serve on the non-com. And therefore, that sometimes results in one person serving longer than you might otherwise because no one else is willing to, kind of thing. So that's a problem. And I was also asked by my folks that I represent that if I thought it would be difficult to find someone who would be agreeable to serve, to commit to 2 years up front.
They're very real issues, and they all need to be, I think, identified and put forward. I think that the skill here will be to pass on to this new review committee of the board a well-thought-out discussion paper with rationale, with risk, with a very good assessment, not necessarily with all the answers, but certainly for food for thought. I have Ron and then Stefan.
Thank you, Chair. With respect, Russ, I certainly appreciate everything you've just said, but with respect to the comment about sometimes it's difficult to find another, so another this in one individual will stay on, that notwithstanding, they should not stay on. We have a place, as I understand it, available here for a GAC representative, and no one fills that chair. And so that means that was a conscious choice, and I would say that if any one of the constituencies cannot find a candidate to fill a spot, then an individual can be here for 2 years, sits out for a year, and if that individual comes back then again for another 2-year term or whatever, that's fine, but they have to sit out, and that seat sits empty because the constituency can't fill the seat. But you cannot continue to send someone back here year on, year in, year out, year in, year out. It's just not a healthy thing. Thank you.
Well, uncannily enough, I was going to suggest exactly the same thing as a solution, that, voting by absence may be a solution, but it may sound a bit aggressive, so we should be careful here. And I think another thing I was going to say is that I think we need to, if we are going down this path, we need to give a clear rationale as to why people shouldn't be on for 9 years. We need to go into the detail of it. It may be obvious to you, Ron, but we need to be careful for the wider community if we're suggesting, that people may not be on. Why is it bad?
Okay, Cheryl, for the record, and my list is growing. I have Robert, I have Hans, I have Veronica, and I have closed the line.
So this is Robert Gare for the record again. I think definitely in an issue like this, one is a place for community input, and so people will have a variety of different things. I think there are some constituencies or some groups that are quite small, and finding someone at all to fill it is difficult, number one. Number two, if you're going to be starting to put a limit, then there are constituencies where people are part of different, multiple constituencies at the same time. And so you may have an individual that for group A is on the NOMCOM and then group B and year two hops and stuff like that. So you may want to think about that. Another option, and this is just a brainstorming, is, are there other ways to maybe throttle that person? So one thing is, by throttling, I mean by slowing down. And so one thing, as you were saying, is making sure the person can't run. The other thing might be allowing the person or not to vote or not. And so there's a variety of different options, and they should be explored. And then also, if we go back to the earlier conversation, if someone's on for a long time, they may also have a sense of history as well. And until we have the data systems in place, there is a certain value, and let's not... I'm only hearing the negative. There is a value, and in some of our conversations, a particular person who has that institutional history has come up and said, hey, but, 6 or 7 years ago, this is the issue that happened and enlightened us. And so let's try to also put positives in that regards as well.
Hans?
I was just going to comment the aggressive arguments that you came with there. I don't see it as aggressive at all that we impose the same rules for everybody. I mean, if we think there is a time limit for voting members because we want to refresh the NOMCOM, then that argument could be used for everybody. And as a sort of refinement of that, it could be tied to persons and not persons from a separate supporting organization, so that I can't join the ITF and come back there next year and so on. Yeah.
Thank you, Cheryl. Very quick, Veronica, for the record. I think it's also relevant in the context of these discussions. It's also relevant to think within the NOMCOM about some performance indicators and to think about some mechanisms that would imply self-evaluation of our own performance and coming up with those tools that would allow for external evaluation of our performance. Because when you are talking to the communities and they delegate the same person back, but there is a certain evidence that things have not worked properly well, then you really use those evaluation and performance results and reports. So I think it's really valuable to think about that.
I think we all would agree with that. And of course, as you may or may not know, the committee does know, the leadership team, the board appointed leadership team of chair and chair elect are now subject to an external consultant's 360 review process. This year we are going to run one internally first as well, and there is nothing stopping a NOMCOM doing that internal one at the very least for us all. We could do a wider peer review. We can discuss that at our next meeting, and it will be at our next meeting shortly. So I'm going to close the queue now because I do want Yurio to just to give us a moment on timeline before we vacate this room promptly.
Thank you, Yurio Länsipuro, for the transcript record. Can I have the first? Okay, thank you. So our deadline is 1st of April. There is a grace period for a couple of days, 72 hours, to make these applications complete if they have been already started. But then that's it. The committee starts in the beginning of April to read and to assess the board candidates first, because, can I have the next slide? The aim is to select about 15 board candidates for further scrutiny and telephone interviews by Odgers and Bertrand, which is the headhunting firm, usually called OB. We try to get these 15 to them before the Easter holidays. When they work on that batch, we concentrate on interviews. We concentrate on assessing the candidates for SO councils and for the ALAC. We should get the assessments, that is to say, the scorecards of those 15 board candidates back from OB, I hope May 12, by the middle of May at the latest. And that's when we start shortlisting board candidates with the aim of having less than 10, hopefully, 9, 8, whatever, for interviews in London. Can I have the next slide? So we want to come to this decision who those, shortlisted candidates are fairly early, because travel arrangements and visas take time for UK, especially for candidates who may come from other regions and continents. Also, we need time for something called deep diving, which means that we divide the committee in pairs, and every pair has to investigate one of the candidates. Investigate, that means, for instance, calling their referees, people having who have given references, recommendations, and so on and so forth, and of course Googling them and finding all the information that is on the net, following links which are in the application, and so on and so forth. So finally we come to London with the, we interview the shortlisted board candidates, and then finally at the end of the meeting, after the actual meeting is ended, that is to say Friday and Saturday, we go to a secluded place for a selection meeting in the black box, and finally white smoke comes out and we have the habemus papam.
Thank you. Thank you, Yurio. Can I thank each one of the nominating committee members who've been through this meeting today, particularly because what we've had is really useful input into the continuing sub-team, the bylaw review sub-team's work, and there is some other bylaws that we will need to work on at our next gathering as well. There are some existing bylaws, limitations to who can serve on the board that we also need to look at. Thank you, audience. Thank you, anybody who is online. And may I ask you to take your rubbish with you at least to the front table so we don't inconvenience the next people using this room. Thank you, one and all.